Well, hey everybody, welcome to episode 87 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to you by our good friends at the Ankeny Office of Iowa Realty. They're located at 1802 Southeast Delaware, suite number 103. Iowa Realty is a proud sponsor of Ankeny Fanatic. They have 75 agents specializing in residential, commercial, farm, and land properties. Well, we normally record the podcast on a Wednesday night, but this week we decided to move it up a couple of nights for a couple of reasons. I've got a conflict on Wednesday night, but I also wanted to get it in before who knows what else is going to happen with this rapidly evolving coronavirus story. Who knows in a couple of days whether we'll even be allowed to leave our homes. So I wanted to get this one out of the way for you guys. All right, well, we're going to talk a lot of boys basketball tonight. The state tournament just concluded three nights ago, so we're going to recap the tournament with representatives from both Ankeny and Ankeny Centennial. Later on, we'll be visiting with Ankeny coach Brant Carlson and one of his seniors who helped lead the Hawks to the second state title in school history, so we'll have a lot to discuss with them. And then we'll close out the podcast with a special guest who played on Ankeny's first championship team in 1995. But right now, I want to bring in a couple of guests from the north side of town. Leading off is an assistant coach for Centennial who just completed his first season as a member of Coach Bob Fontana's staff. Before coming here, he was a longtime head coach at several different schools who won 498 games across 36 seasons. He was an eight-time district coach of the year who won 12 conference championships in his career. He was the Class 4A coach of the year in 1999 and a national coach of the year nominee in 2019. Last week, he was officially inducted into the Iowa High School Athletic Association's Basketball Hall of Fame. He's Bobby Sandquist. Bobby, thanks for coming in. How you doing?
Thank you, Dan. Appreciate it.
Hey, you bet. Well, congratulations on your selection to the Hall of Fame. I know you just found out about it a few weeks ago. Were you surprised when you heard the news?
Well, thank you, Dan. Yeah, somewhat. You don't get into this business thinking about Hall of Fame and number of victories or whatever, but you get in it to impact kids and the relationships there. But it's a great honor, and I'm appreciative and honored and humbled for that.
Well, for people who aren't familiar with your resume, let me briefly summarize your playing and coaching career. You played basketball and baseball at Southeast Polk and then at Simpson College before starting your coaching career. You spent time at Panora Linden, North Polk, Des Moines Hoover, Waukee, and Johnston, qualifying for the state tournament five times. Now, your best finish came in 1998 when you guided Hoover to a runner-up finish. And that was the Glenn Worley game, right? Because didn't he make a free throw like in the final second to win the game?
With zero time on the clock. Zero time on the clock on a rebounding foul. Yep.
That had to be a bitter pill to swallow.
Yeah. It's hard to get to that moment. And I had a great group of kids that year that were undefeated actually going to that game. And went down to the wire and to sit there on the sidelines and watch it go away with a made free throw with no time on the clock was still hard to swallow.
Oh, sure. Well, ironically, Glenn Worley was also inducted into the Hall of Fame last week. And I guess he's gone on to have a very successful coaching career as well, hasn't he?
Yeah, it sounds like he has.
Well, the induction ceremony was supposed to be held on Friday night, but it was canceled after the IHSAA decided to limit spectators on the final day of the tournament due to the increasing concern of the spread and impact of the coronavirus. You know, were you disappointed that you didn't get to have the actual ceremony?
You know, from my standpoint, personally, I wasn't disappointed. I understood everything that was going on. But on behalf of my wife, Bridget, my son, Bo, and daughter, Jordan, I thought it'd be kind of cool for them to get to go out to midcourt and be recognized because of, they've been on the journey and behind the scenes and a lot of sacrifice and support through the years. So probably saddest for that point.
Sure. Well, Bobby, you also led two other teams to third place finishes at state, Hoover in 2003 and Johnston in 2009. And I don't know if you've ever compared your teams, but which of your teams do you think was your best? Was it the 98 team because they were undefeated till the end?
Well, you probably got to put them up there near the top. Being undefeated in 4A is quite an accomplishment during the regular season. But I hate to rank teams or compare teams. I've had been so fortunate with so many great players and great coaches that I've worked with and just been blessed.
Well, who are some of the great players that stand out in your career?
Had Mr. Basketball in 1998, David Newman, who went on and played in the Big Ten and Missouri Valley. Again, hating to compare kids, I've had so many, a lot of kids have played Division I basketball and Division II basketball, small college basketball, all great kids, all great players that played with passion and got the most out of their ability.
And you've had a lot of your former players have gone on to become coaches too, right?
Yeah. A lot of my assistants became head coaches, and a lot of players have become high school or college coaches as well.
Well, Bobby, since you played at Southeast Polk, you must have played for Gene West then, right?
Was he
a big influence on your coaching career and the philosophies that you have?
Yeah, Gene was an excellent coach and very defensive minded, and I've always carried that as a staple in the teams I've coached, for sure.
Who are some of the other coaches that have had an influence on you?
You know, going back to high school, Tom Hall, my head sophomore basketball coach, was an excellent influence. And just from the fact that playing hard and effort and having fun and those type of things that I've always tried to carry on in my coaching.
Well, I read in your bio in the state tournament program that you also spent 2 years as an assistant at Drake. So what years were you there?
1986 through 88.
Okay, quite a while ago then. So, yeah. So was coaching at the collegiate level, is that something that you always wanted to do, or is that just something that kind of happened?
You know, that was a goal of mine, to be a Division I basketball coach, and spent 2 years doing it. And it was basically 7 a.m. To midnight every day. It was a grind. It's a tough profession. You know, we went 31-27 at Drake those 2 years, and the head coach I worked with, who was an excellent coach, by the way, Gary Garner, ended up being fired. And so I saw the ugly side of Division I basketball, and had some other chances to get back in it, but I decided to go back into high school coaching, where I thought maybe I could impact some kids and control my destiny a little more.
We've obviously had a very successful first season here as an assistant at Centennial, and we'll talk about the Jaguars' performance at the state tournament here in a minute. But I know you told me earlier this season that you were really enjoying this new role and that you didn't have a big ego where you needed to be the head coach. So do you think you'll stick around here for a while?
You know, right now I'm still just living in the moment and going over this season and what we accomplished. It was just a great year with these kids, and Coach Fontana does an outstanding job. So it's a pleasure to work with him, his staff, the players, the parents, the students, Mr. Jarvis, the athletic director. I just had a great experience this year and really couldn't have asked for more.
Well, of course, you're only two wins away from the 500 win mark. You know, that'd be a neat milestone for you to hit. If someone were to come calling with a head coaching position, you know, would you at least listen to him?
You know, I won't say I wouldn't, but again, didn't get in this business for X number of wins or whatever. So if it's 498, it's 498. And,
sure.
And I wouldn't get back into it because of that.
Well, let's talk about this year's tournament now. You guys came in as the number one seed, and you opened the tournament with a 53-51 win over Davenport North in the quarterfinals on Tuesday. The Wildcats had a chance to win the game at the buzzer, but a three-point shot by Makai Jacobs bounced off the rim. You know, that was a little too close for comfort, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was. And that's sports, you know, the risk of sports that anything can happen. But, you know, credit them. They played an excellent ball game. A lot of athleticism, quickness that we don't see day in, day out. You know, we didn't play horrible. It wasn't our best game, but again, credit them. They came in and fought. But, you know, it's all about surviving in advance, and our kids did that.
Well, you guys then had a day off to prepare for the semifinal game on Thursday against Waukee. But Thursday ended up being kind of a strange day. I know you and the rest of the coaches were probably hunkered down trying to get ready for the game. But while you were doing that all across the country, sporting events were being canceled that day, you know, due to the coronavirus. You know, were you guys concerned at all that the tournament might end up being canceled?
Yeah, we knew that was a possibility, and it was just kind of something just hanging over you. But again, we stayed focused on our task ahead, you know, people probably don't know, we had a couple kids really banged up after that first game.
Right.
We didn't know if Jerron was going to be able to play Thursday or Colin, so we had those guys on our mind as well as the virus going on, but again, that virus, that was all understandable, and if they called it off, they called it off.
Sure. Well, the tournament did go on, and later that night you guys dropped a 68-62 decision to Waukee, which avenged an earlier loss to your team. The Warriors had a 15-0 run in the second quarter, and that was really the difference in the game, wasn't it?
Yeah, it ended up being a big difference. Cody getting a couple fouls and being out of the game early, a couple maybe questionable calls as we watch him on tape.
But, sure.
You take the leading rebounder, an impact player like him, out of the game. We fought an uphill battle, but as our kids all year have done, they fought and fought, and they're resilient, competitive, and got it back down to a two-point game. But, you know, credit Waukee with hitting some free throws and making some plays down the stretch.
Well, Bobby, you've coached in some consolation games before, and you've had success in those games. You know, did you think it would be hard, though, to get the guys motivated for the third-place game, especially, you know, with the limited spectators that were there that day?
You know, I think it always is. It's a real quick turnaround, obviously, from an evening game to the next morning. You know, you get the kids as ready as you can, and Coach Fontana prepared them just like we always do. And I think the fact that they were number one seed and had high expectations of playing in that championship game made it all the tougher. But again, I think our kids came out and fought and against a talented Cedar Falls team.
Oh, yeah.
Very talented team. And they outplayed us and earned that third place trophy. But again, I think our kids gave everything they got that day just like they always did.
Well, yeah, you guys ended the season with a 65-58 loss. And again, the second quarter proved to be your downfall. Cedar Falls went on a 19-4 run to take a 33-21 lead. You guys were able to pull within a point in the fourth quarter, but you just couldn't get over that hump, could you?
Yeah, just couldn't. And again, we fought, and sometimes the deficit's a little too much to overcome. And at the 4A level especially, it's a fine line between winning and losing, and a play here, a play there, a call here, a call there. And you just hope your guys make the plays and overcome any adversity that comes their way and get the W.
Well, Cody McCullough led your team with 21 points and 24 rebounds in that game, and he was later named to the all-tournament team. You know, what can you say about his performance?
How about that, to end a high school career with a 21 and 24, outstanding, and that's just, I'm not surprised. He's an everyday guy. He brought it to every day of practice. He brought it to every game, every minute he was on the court. Those are great numbers, and so proud of him.
Yeah, I think Wayne State got a steal on him, don't you?
I think so. Yeah, his best days are ahead of him.
Well, your program will now have to replace Cody as well as nine other seniors. That was a pretty special group, wasn't it?
You know, they were. Not just from a talent standpoint, but just high character kids that I looked forward to seeing every day in the gym, can't say enough about them and how they were receptive to having somebody, new come in on the staff this year. I just felt like we had a lot of great relationships and a lot of fun, a lot of memories along the way, which I think high school sports is all about memories. I think there's quite a few this year.
Oh, sure. Well, before I let you go, Bob, I just want to get your quick thoughts on the Class 4A title game. Your team defeated Ankeny twice during the regular season, and your size inside, certainly had a lot to do with it. I thought maybe Waukee's size might also give the Hawks some problems. Were you surprised at all by how that game turned out?
Down there at the state tournament, anything can happen. And I tell you what, you got to credit Ankeny High with just a fantastic week. They stepped up. Made the plays all week. They were fearless. Just got to credit them. So, it was kind of a deal. Not surprised that they won it, but it was whoever stepped up that Friday night and made the plays, and they certainly did. So, tip of the hat to them.
Yeah, I really thought going into the tournament, that it was wide open. There's maybe seven teams that could win it if they got hot, and boy, they got hot.
Yeah, yep, they sure did. Again, a commendable performance by them. And it was a wide-open tournament. It was a lot of fun.
Well, Bobby, thanks a lot for coming in tonight. Enjoy the conversation.
Dan, thank you. And thank you to the community, everybody I've had a chance to work with. I've been appreciative. Thank you.
You bet. All right, listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. Gershman Mortgage is also a sponsor of the podcast. Gershman, the Midwest premier mortgage lender, is proud to be part of the Ankeny Fanatic podcast. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home, vacation home, upgrade or remodel an existing home, or refinance your current mortgage, Gershman Mortgage is here to help. With over 60 years in the mortgage industry, they have security, experience, and unmatched service. You can visit their Ankeny office, call 515-964-5952, or visit Gershman.com to get pre-approved today. Well, my next guest was a senior forward for Centennial, and he led the Jaguars to a fourth place finish at state, the best season in school history. He averaged a double-double with 14.1 points and 11.6 rebounds per game, and he was unanimously selected to the CIML Central Conference first team. He was also a repeat pick to the All-Conference team after helping the Jaguars to their first league crown since 2015. He's Cody McCullough. Cody, thanks for coming in. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Hey, good. We've had a few days to unwind after the tournament. I know the season, has really been a grind for you. Have you been able to get some rest over the weekend?
A little bit of rest. I mean, just cooling off from the whole state tournament thing, and it was a crazy week, so it's finally good to get some rest.
I know you guys didn't reach your ultimate goal of winning a state title, but before the season started, there weren't many people who probably thought your team would even make it to state. You guys were coming off a 9-13 season, and you had a dramatic turnaround to a 24-3 record. You still have to be awfully, proud of what this team accomplished.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, ever since last year, our senior group, we knew that what we wanted to accomplish this year. So we just stuck to it and got the junior class in the summer, just started working in it, turned out to be a really good season.
Well, obviously the addition of Jerron Cruz made a big difference for you guys, but I know Coach Fontana, you know, also told me that you and the other seniors just really dedicated yourselves in the offseason to getting better. You just touched on that. You know, don't you think that was maybe the biggest factor?
Mm-hmm. We knew that last year we didn't want another repeat of that. And so it started in the offseason. We actually met as small groups just talking about what our goals for this upcoming season were and just kept doing those and just kept getting in the gym, and it really turned out good.
Well, let's talk about the state tournament. This was the first trip to state for you and your teammates. You know, was the experience of playing there at the Well, was it what you expected it to be?
Yeah, it was a great experience. I mean, that's what every kid, their dream is of playing high school basketball, is to make it there, and we did that. So it's a great accomplishment.
Well, we talked with Coach Sandquist about how you guys defeated Davenport North by 2 points in the quarterfinals. You know, did you kind of hold your breath on that last second 3-point shot?
Yeah, it looked good from where I was standing. I got pretty scared there for a second, but it was
I'll bet.
All right.
It looked good from where I was standing, yeah. I know. Well, then in the semifinals, unfortunately, you got called for a couple of charges and got into some early foul trouble. So you spent some time on the bench as Waukee took control of the game in the first half. I know you don't have any control over the officiating, but those were a couple of tough calls, weren't they?
Yeah, usually the coaches are telling me to stay straight up on defense and stay on my feet, but this time it was a couple of charges, so really had to switch it up.
Well, you guys did battle back in the second half, but you know, just couldn't get over the hump, could you?
Yeah, we just kept fighting back and just got really close, and then they get another lead again, and it was just kind of a repeated process.
Well, you then had a really quick turnaround for the consolation game the next day. You know, was that a hard game to get up for, considering, you know, the early start time, the fact that you're playing for third place, and because there weren't a lot of people there?
Yeah, it was definitely a little bit different, just having nobody really there except our families and stuff, and then obviously after the tough loss the night before. But we got up and played that game, and I mean, it didn't turn out how we wanted, but just a great end of the season for us still.
Well, we mentioned earlier that you had 21 points and 24 rebounds in that game, and you broke your own school record for most rebounds in a game. Did you realize how many you had during the game?
Not really. I didn't think I had that many during the game, but my mentality is just go get every board, and however many I get is what I get. So.
Well, I'm sure it was an emotional locker room afterwards, realizing that you played your last high school game. You know, did it hit you right away that your career was over?
Not really. Just one of the biggest things is just knowing that I'm never going to be around my friends that I've been playing with since like fifth grade, and even before that, I'm never going to play with them again. And then just the coaching staff, they've been really great this year with everything they've done. I'm really going to miss them.
Well, Cody, I'm guessing you watched the Class 4A title game with some interest because you're very familiar with both teams. You know, what did you think of Ankeny's run to the title? I know you've played with a lot of ball with some of those guys. You know, were you happy for them?
Yeah, I was really happy for them. I mean, when a team shoots like that in state tournament and just can do that over and over again, you have a really good chance to win it no matter who you are.
Well, you were named to the all-tournament team afterwards, and under normal circumstances, you would have been at the arena to receive your award, but obviously you weren't there. So when did you find out that you'd been named to the team?
I actually saw it on Twitter a couple minutes after the game ended, and that's how I figured it out. So
that's definitely a unique way to find out.
Yeah.
Well, certainly a well-deserved reward. You know, did you think you had a chance to make the team?
Yeah, I did. I think I played pretty consistent throughout the whole tournament, but that's really not what I was focusing on the most. I was just focused on winning the games, and that's just a benefit.
Well, Cody, before I let you go, I just wanted to ask you a couple more questions. Your spring break has just started, so what are your plans for this week? Are you going to be self-distancing because of the coronavirus?
Yeah, we're actually supposed to be going down to the Caribbean, but there was a bunch of cases down where we're supposed to go, so we had to cancel our trip and reschedule it.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Yeah.
I was supposed to be going to the Final Four, and that was canceled too,
yeah.
So I know how you feel. Well, I guess now you're going to get 4 more weeks of a spring break after this one, huh?
Yeah, that's really weird to just think about, just not being going to school for 4 weeks, like because of a pandemic. Like, who would have thought that would ever happen?
What are you going to do to pass the time?
I don't even know. Probably try to get in the gym somewhere.
Well, of course, the NCAA tournament was supposed to be starting, you know, this week as well. How much are you going to miss the March Madness?
Yeah, that's something I'm looking forward to every year, just Selection Sunday, and then just filling out brackets with my friends and just having fun with it, and it's something we won't get to do this year.
For sure. Well, Cody, thanks a lot for coming in tonight. I appreciate it, and thanks a lot for all your help this year.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. Revive Clinic and Spa is also a sponsor of the podcast. Revive has a large menu of aesthetic procedures, including Botox, cosmetic fillers, hydrofacials, cool sculpting, laser hair removal, forever young photo facials, halo, and a medically supervised weight loss program. Dr. Steph is now offering hormone pellet therapy for men and women. She has over 15 years of aesthetic experience and 30 years in the healthcare field. Her staff is top-notch and the best in the industry. They give every new patient a complimentary consult that includes a Visia skin analysis valued at $200. Revive Clinic and Spa is conveniently located at 1850 Southwest Plaza Shops Lane in South Ankeny by the new Hy-Vee. You can give them a call at 515-965-5677. All right, my next guest is the head coach at Ankeny, and he just guided the Hawks on an amazing run to the second state title in school history. His team won its final seven games to finish with a 21-5 record, and he's making his third straight appearance on the podcast, and I believe that's a first for anybody, so we really appreciate his time. He's Brant Carlson. Brant, thanks for coming in. How you doing?
Thank you. Doing very well today. Thank you.
Well, you bet. Well, congratulations on winning the state championship. What a great accomplishment. You told me after Friday's win over Waukee that it was more of a relief than anything else because the last few weeks were such a grind. You know, were you able to celebrate a little bit over the weekend?
I think so. Just more reflection of the experience and just trying to soak that in a little bit more. And it's fun to go back and watch film and kind of just really see, I guess, what you missed ultimately. But yeah, it's been a really fun experience listening to so many well-wishers and just, I guess, enjoying the fact that they had great memories of their win in 95 and just a lot of people in Ankeny really happy and family, friends, all those things. So it's been a really nice couple of days.
I'll bet. Well, I don't think there were too many people who saw this coming. A year ago, you guys posted a 13-8 record, and I'm sure you'd admit that the season ended with a disappointing loss to Des Moines Roosevelt in a sub-state quarterfinal, and you lost some key pieces from that team. So do you have any idea that this team had this kind of potential?
Probably not, really. It's one of those situations, I think, every year you'd like to think that you're always playing for a state championship, but I think ultimately you're just trying to really get young people to improve and find some consistency and find a kind of a niche, I guess, for that particular season. So, yeah, I mean, we wanted to be consistent and be improved in a lot of areas. Defensively was the big one. But, yeah, we never could have envisioned, you know, what happened, obviously. But, you know, there were some signs, I think, during the season, just some big wins on the road and different things that I saw our guys do and accomplish. But, man, all the way up till it happening, I wouldn't say that was something we necessarily expected.
Sure. Well, we talked 2 weeks ago after you guys rallied to beat Sioux City East in the sub-state final that this tournament was going to be wide open, that there were several teams capable of winning the crown, you know, and you guys proved it.
Well, I appreciate that. I think that, you know, the road to get there was so hard. I felt like our sub-state game was just as hard as the state games. I mean, those four teams were something else. And yeah, I think I mentioned it in one of the interviews this week or last week where the hot team just tends to advance. And we were just very fortunate. Things went our way and our kids took advantage of it and, you know, sealed the deal on Friday night. So it was pretty remarkable.
Well, we already talked about the quarterfinal win over Iowa City West on last week's podcast, so let's start with Thursday and the semifinal victory over Cedar Falls. But before we get to that game, you know, that was kind of a strange day with the sporting events being canceled all over the country. You know, did you ever worry that the rest of the tournament might be in jeopardy?
Yeah, we did. I think our, you know, in school that day, you know, talking with our AD, he just didn't know what was going to happen. And you were just hopeful that the state would try at least finish it. I know the state of Nebraska did something very similar, so we were just hoping that we could play it and not have kind of a situation. I know that Wisconsin had a couple of days short of their final, so that would have been kind of an interesting finish to the season, obviously. But no, we were nervous about it, but at the same time, it was kind of out of our control. We just tried to focus in on the game if we were able to play it.
Well, you guys came out and hit 6 3-pointers and built a 27-9 lead after the opening period. You know, that was just an incredible shooting display. And it kind of reminded me of that game at Centennial a couple of years ago when you guys really shot the lights out. You know, I thought your guys were really playing loose, you know, that night. I don't think they realized it was a big game, did they?
Didn't seem like it. I mean, I think the rhythm of the game was there for them. And we just talked a ton about, you know, control what you can control. You know, make sure your feet and hands are ready to go. And, you know, we were saying that for the last 2 weeks. You know, it was our time to get going from the perimeter. So I think, you know, that's the way our guys have played, honestly, for 3 years, where the big games, I think they play better. And that's a tribute just to their character and their kind of competitive edge. And it was pretty fun to watch.
Well, your team eventually held a 30-10 lead before Cedar Falls answered with a 14-point run. I thought you guys were wobbling a little bit and really needed to get the game to halftime. But then Braxton Bayless drove for a basket, and Jordan Cum followed with a 3-pointer right before the half. You know, those are two huge baskets to kind of stem the tide, weren't they?
Very much so. And, you know, it's interesting there with the 3-timeout rule. You know, you only get three. So we obviously would have taken one if we had more timeouts available just to kind of hold that off a little bit. But we just felt like we needed to get either to immediate timeout or just kind of get to the halftime. So yeah, the guys battled through, and you know, that's the way basketball is. So many runs back and forth, and we knew they were going to make one in there. So, you know, we were able to kind of hold them off, I guess, enough to keep it in double digits for halftime.
Well, Jordan went on to go 6 for 9 from behind the arc in that game, and he'd really been struggling in the three previous games. And then he followed that up by going 3 for 4 from three-point range and scoring 16 points in the final against Waukee. Right. You know, he really picked a good time to find a shooting stroke, didn't he?
No doubt about it. I think he was just saving it. I think there's no question. You're just saving it for those moments. But in all seriousness, I think at the end of the day, shooting's just tough. I mean, we get defended really hard when you're playing like, you know, opponents that have played us a lot. They know how to guard us. So I think we were fortunate to run into three teams that hadn't seen us either in a couple of years or ever. And that helps a lot. And when the attention goes to one other player, we have very talented people around him that can do the thing, and he'll find them. So, yeah, it was a great timing, and we were proud of him and Jackson both. Just really kind of got us rolling. And once that happened, I think we were pretty hard to stop because there's multiple things you had to worry about.
Oh, sure. Well, yeah, of course, Braxton had erupted for 41 points in that win over Iowa City West. And I think both Cedar Falls and Waukee were really geared up to stop him. You probably knew some other guys were going to have to step up, didn't you?
No question. And I think, you know, we really, if you look at our seven guys that play majority of the minutes, they all did at various times. And, you know, the last game, I think we had five or six guys in double figures. So Ryan Crandall, Nolan. Nolan probably played the best two games of his career in the last two games. So, I mean, it's one of those situations. Teams that win championships, you can go back and look at all these different factors that played into it. And this week was no different. I think just the rhythm of 3 days, it's hard, but it's a rhythm too. And the way that our guys were attentive to detail in the morning, talking about scouts, all the different things just fell into place for them at the right time, and they were ready for that moment.
Well, Jackson Smith had 14 points in that last game, and he really had a tremendous defensive effort as well, holding Tucker DeVries scoreless until late in the third quarter. DeVries also had 8 of Waukee's 14 turnovers. You know, Jackson was just all over the court, wasn't he?
Seemed like it, and I think just his ability to get into him. I know Tucker had said that in his interview, too. He just felt like he was getting into me, you know, getting into him. So, you know, I think for us, we're a real tendency-driven defense, and we got them pushed away from their, you know, what they want to do, and it just kind of really took their rhythm away. And then we were just able to rebound consistently all three games all week and just be at least even on the glass. And, you know, again, when you're scoring well, you put a ton of pressure on the other team's possessions. And that was – it's always been a goal of ours. And I think when we've played well, that's what we do. And it definitely worked to our advantage. So, you know, at the end of the day, these two seniors, Jackson Jordan, really carried us, I think, in a consistent way the last two games and really brought confidence to our team.
Well, Braxton had 16 points in the final and was named the captain of the all-tournament team after scoring 68 points in three games. I don't know if the vote for captain was unanimous or not, but I don't know how anybody, you know, could have voted for anybody else. Do you?
No, it'd have been tough, I think. You know, most of the time, if your team is winning it and you're playing well, you're probably going to be up for that position. But, no, he got off to a great start, obviously, on Wednesday, and he carried over. I think carried over to the standpoint where the other team had to focus so much on him that everyone else was just open. So, it played into our favor. What can you say?
Well, somebody asked me today too. I know the all conference teams recently came out. We had a story up today on that. How is he not all conference? You know, unanimous all conference.
It's interesting. I don't know. I mean, we all voted, so I have never really thought much about who didn't vote for him. But it's okay. I mean, at the end of the day, it was more fuel to his fire, to be honest with you. And you know, any time you get, you know, anybody kind of voting against you or whatever the issue is, it's just a great opportunity to do what you do and not worry about, you know, people's opinion and all those different things. I think it was just a good learning example for them that they don't need to talk about it. They don't need to get back at anybody. It's not about that. It's just about being consistent in who you are, believing in who you are, and winning on the scoreboard. And I thought they did that. I thought they handled things really well. And but that is very interesting.
Well, it seems like a lifetime ago, but Braxton started the season with a 4-game suspension after violating the school's good conduct policy, and now he ends the year as the captain of the all-tournament team and the leader of a state championship squad. Mm-hmm. You know, it's probably fair to say that he's grown up a little bit over the last few months, huh?
Definitely, and not without a lot of help, too, I think, from his teammates, from his coaches, and people that care about him at our school. I think people just really wanted to help him stay eligible and move forward in his life and have an opportunity to do things after high school. So we have a lot of people at our school that invest in kids in amazing ways. And we're very grateful for them. And all of our kids, I think, have been led and you know, helped and encouraged along the way from whether it's administrators, teachers. We have a lot of people that just, again, care. I think that's Ankeny as a whole. So we're very blessed to see that. But those 4 games that he was out, I thought, also helped our team in the last 2 games when he was fouled out. And they have to cover all the things that he normally would do. So all in all, again, when you win a championship, you can look back on all these different things that fell into place and they happened for a reason. And it really led to guys winning that thing because they stayed consistent and they didn't waver and they just used every opportunity to get better.
Yeah, because you told me after Friday's game that you had some guys on the team that really kept everybody together during some rough moments in the season, and you guys were able to go 3-1 while Braxton was sitting out. You know, so was that one of the moments you were referring to?
I think that's a huge moment. I think just other moments when you go on the road and lose maybe a tough non-conference game and not playing that well. I go to last year losing to Roosevelt in the first round of the tournament. I mean, we talked about that in our leadership meetings this fall. Just, are we going to use that opportunity or are we going to complain about it? And I think they definitely used it and used it as motivation and understood that last year just maybe the team wasn't as tight as they thought they were. And when you lose games like that, it opens up those things and shows you what was going on. And I think they did a wonderful job of making sure things didn't get in the way, feelings didn't get in the way, and we had other guys on the team that never played that just did a wonderful job of helping in practice and never caused drama, never were wavering in their role either. So, again, collectively, coaches and players, it was a very tight group of people that really got on the train of we want to go somewhere, and as it continued to build momentum, I think they all understood. And just watching guys celebrate each other this week was so fun to see, and I hope everyone just felt a part of it with their role, how important it was.
Well, I mentioned that you guys won the second state title in school history. The first one came 25 years ago in 1995 under Larry Ireland. You know, Brant, do you know much about that 95 team? I mean, there are a lot of similarities between that team and this one.
I keep hearing that. Lauren Williams is a longtime coach here in Ankeny that was a lower-level assistant during those years, and longtime fan, and he was our fan of the game one here this week and last week. And he's told me so much about that team, and Coach Kissinger, same thing. And so I've learned as much as I'm hearing from people that know about it. I know a few of the players too, and just always been real grateful for any and all of them that reach out, and Ryan Sears and all those guys. So it's been pretty unique, pretty neat how it's kind of comparable to the run that they had and the regular season that we had. And it's very interesting to see the comparisons.
We'll be talking to one of the members of that team later on, so it'll be fun to get his perspective on this year's squad. Mm-hmm. But, Brant, thanks a lot for coming in tonight, and thanks for all your help this year. Really appreciate it. What a great run you guys had.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate all your work. And it was obviously we're just honored to be in this position to win one for Ankeny and be part of a lot of great programs here. Thanks.
All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Ira Realty. Gershman Mortgage is also a sponsor of the podcast. Whether you're looking to for your first home or refinancing your existing loan, Gershman Mortgage has an expert to assist you. They'll help you find the right mortgage to meet your personal needs when you are buying your starter house, moving to a larger home, aging in place, or looking to refinance. Gershman Mortgage will be there every step of the way. You can visit their Ankeny office, call 515-964-5952, or visit Gershman.com to get pre-approved today. Well, my next guest was a senior guard for the Hawks, and he was an honorable mention all-conference pick for the second straight year. He averaged 9.3 points and had 44 three-point goals this season, but he was at his best in the final two games of the state tournament when he went 9-for-13 from behind the arc and scored 34 points in the wins over Cedar Falls and Waukee. He's Jordan Cumm. Jordan, thanks for coming in. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Hey, good. Well, congratulations on a great tournament and winning the state title. You're about 72 hours removed from the championship game right now. You know, how was your weekend? Did you get a chance to celebrate with your teammates?
It took a while for it to soak in for us. I mean, it took about a day or two to soak in, like, I know we go back looking at it, like everybody telling us that we weren't good enough and everybody counting us out throughout the entire year with the losses that we had. And then we just went and won a state championship and we're number one in the state.
Well, I saw a video from the AD, so I know you guys had a little celebration at the school afterwards. What was that like?
It was great. I mean, to see everybody that we go to school with come out and support us when they couldn't go to the game, I mean, that really stinked. But seeing them in the parking lot when we got back was a very nice feeling.
Well, Jordan, you've had quite a senior year. You're in All-State honors in football after helping your football team to the Class 4A quarterfinals, and now you're state champion in basketball. I'm kind of curious about something, though. I know your football team had some pretty high expectations going into the season. If someone had told you in the fall that you'd win a state championship in one of the two sports, you know, would you have thought it'd be basketball?
I think it could have been, yeah, because even last year when we had Dylan Carlson on the team, I thought we had a pretty good chance of winning it. And this year we just really made a pact to stay together and win a state championship.
Well, you obviously weren't around when Ankeny won its first state title in 1995, but I heard you talking the other night about the picture mentality of seeing that championship team's photo on the wall of fame at the school and wanting to get your own photo up there. So do you know much of anything about that 95 team?
Actually, I was coached by Ryan Sears at Kingdom Hoops. He actually helped me change my shot when I was in, like, fifth grade. He taped my thumb to my hand because I was using my left thumb to shoot the basketball.
Yeah, he'd be a good teacher.
Yeah.
Another star of that team was P.J. Dotrieve, who had a little bit of a fiery personality that I think helped him become the player that he was. Now, you aren't the same kind of player that P.J. was. He was more of just a pure scorer, but I think you'd agree that you also play the game with a little bit of an edge, don't you?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, being my size, everybody counts me out, and so I just use that to fuel myself and use my speed and ability to get around on the court.
And don't you think that that's a big reason for your success?
Definitely. I mean, when you can outrun people and you're explosive as I am, that really helps you.
Well, we talked with Coach about how you broke out of your shooting slump in the last two games and how important that was to the team winning the title. You know, did you do anything different before the Cedar Falls game or change your approach in any way?
No, I mean, I told the guys before our first game against Iowa City West, I looked myself in the mirror and I told myself that we were going to win a state championship, and I had that mentality going into the game, and I didn't care if I scored 40 points or 0 points as long as we got a state championship at the end of the day.
Well, I know both Jackson and Nolan told me at various times during the postseason play that Coach had told them to just keep shooting because this is your senior year and you just got to have faith in yourself. So I assume you always had the green light to keep firing away, huh?
Definitely. I mean, Coach trusts us, and we are able to do what we do because he trusts us and he doesn't limit what we do, and that really helped us this year.
Well, you guys had to play three games in 3 days to win the title, and all the starters, you know, played heavy minutes in all of those games. You know, how tired were you on Friday night? You know, and did you get a chance to rest over the weekend?
I mean, playing AAU, that helped a lot, being able to come back the next day, because in AAU there's been days where you play four games at a time and you just got to keep going, and I think that helped us a lot.
Well, it certainly was a team effort, but you guys probably don't win the state title if Braxton, you know, didn't put your team on his back and carry the load at times. He sparked the comeback in the sub-state final against Sioux City East, and then he had that incredible 41-point performance against Iowa City West. You know, what was it like to play with him the last 2 years?
It's just great. I mean, off the court, me and Braxton are pretty tight, too, and just being able to see him accomplish his goals and do what he does on the court was great to see.
Well, things didn't look good early on in that Iowa City West game until Braxton took over. The big guy for Iowa City West, Evan Bronze, had 15 points in the first quarter and looked like he was unstoppable. You know, you guys really hadn't played it against a post player like that this year, had you?
No, I mean, we went into the game knowing that most of their points came from him because he's 6'9", he's D1, he's going to all these camps and stuff. And so we just really scouted them, and we knew that we needed to pack the lane and limit his touches and him getting to the hoop.
Well, you guys ended up, you know, limiting him to just 12 more points over the last three quarters, so he finished with 27. But it was really a team effort, right? Because, yeah, like you said, you guys just really packed the lane and made it tough for him.
Yeah, we just had to pack the lane.
Well, I asked Coach this question earlier, so I'll ask you too. You know, on Thursday when there were sporting events being canceled all over the country, you know, did you start to worry that maybe the tournament might be canceled?
Some of my future teammates on Minnesota State Moorhead, we have a group chat, and they were telling me about how their state championships are getting canceled left and right in all these different states like Wisconsin and stuff like that. And I was kind of worried that they were going to do it to us, and I'm just really grateful that we got to play in the state championship.
Well, there were some tournaments that were literally stopped right in the middle of a game. You know, can you imagine how you would have felt if they'd canceled it?
Yeah, that's terrible. I heard about that, and I don't even know what I would feel. I would feel very angry at everything that's happening, because you only get to play in a state championship maybe once in your life like we got to do, and that would suck.
Well, of course, you wouldn't have known how it would have turned out if it had gotten canceled, but you would have been deprived of some great moments there, huh?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, you guys did play the championship game before a sparse crowd because of the coronavirus fears. You know, did it seem like a strange atmosphere to you?
I think we were used to that atmosphere all year. I mean, we had trouble getting fans out in the regular season, and I think we had advantage to that point.
Well, now that the season is over and school has been canceled for the next month, you know, what are you going to do for the next several weeks?
I'm probably just going to go to the gym and work out and go work.
Well, you have to start your preparations, you know, for football season, right?
Yeah, definitely. I got to go to Ryan Smith. He actually helps me with my football technique and all that.
Or are you worried at all that, you know, the effects of the pandemic could linger on into the fall and affect the football season as well?
Yeah, I think everybody's worried about it. I mean, we just got to keep our hands clean. We got to wipe everything down, and we just got to stay clear of leaving the country, and I think the president's got that under control.
Well, you told me off air that you might be heading up to Minnesota tomorrow, so are you heading up to Moorhead?
No, I'm heading up to Mall of America.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, good luck with that.
Thank you.
Well, Jordan, I really enjoyed watching you play this year. Thanks a lot for coming in today.
Yep, thank you. Thank you very much.
All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. The Iowa Finance Authority 2019 Mortgage Credit Certificate Program can save Iowa homebuyers up to $2,000 on their federal taxes for the life of the loan for first-time homebuyers. This program awards a tax credit valued at 50% of the annual mortgage interest paid and is available annually as long as the home remains the buyer's primary residence. Dave Lewis of Home Services Lending and the Iowa Realty Ankeny office is a participating lender. You can call Dave at 515-321-5913 if you have any questions. He also has a variety of products can handle all of your loan needs. Well, my final guest tonight was a starter on Ankeny's 1995 state championship team. As a junior, he averaged 12.8 points and 4.6 rebounds per game and was named the team's best rebounder. He earned all-conference honorable mention, then was an all-conference second team pick as a senior before going on to play for Northern Iowa. He is now a well-known realtor in town. He's Tim Scheib. Tim, thanks for coming in. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Hey, good. Well, I'm sure you enjoyed Ankeny's amazing run to the title. Did you attend any of the games or at least watch them online?
I watched the games during the season. The state tournament games, I watched them all online.
Well, watching the Hawks, do what they did that bring back some memories for you?
It really hit me when, it really hit me when the announcer said, it's been 25 years since the state tournament, championship game with Ankeny was in it. I was like, oh my gosh, it's been 25 years. And then it hit me, that was my team. That was me and my boys. So
yeah.
It was a pretty cool feeling to hear that and to think about that and then to see that team press through that tournament just the way we did. It was amazing.
Well, we'll talk more about your team in detail here in a minute, but did you see some similarities between your team and this year's squad?
I mean, it's obvious, you see that. Well, first off, our team was like, I think we had the worst record going into that state tournament. And I know these guys, they were rated, they're the 6th seed.
Right.
I think we were the 8th seed. So looking back at it, being the underdog coming into those games was very similar. And then the size, if you just look at the overall size of their team compared to our team, I mean, it was pretty similar. And just the way they caught fire, like we caught fire at the right time, truly brings March Madness to a peak.
Well, it's just kind of ironic that it's 25 years, exactly, that,
Yep.
Great anniversary.
Yep, absolutely.
Well, I know your daughter, McKenna, is a junior on the Ankeny volleyball team, so I'm sure you followed the Hawks pretty closely, this season anyway. But did you see this coming at all? Did you think, they had a run in them like this?
When I went and watched them play against Centennial, I thought Centennial was going to be the team. And at the beginning of the tournament, I saw that they were on separate brackets. So I was like, all right, if both teams make it to the championship, we're definitely not going to be the only team in Ankeny to win a state tournament.
Yeah. Well, your team, had some high-scoring guards, but, you guys did not have a player like Braxton Bayless who could attack the rim at his size and score so easily over taller defenders. What did you think of his performance at the tournament?
It was tough. That first game was amazing, but I got to remind you, we did have someone that could score over people much taller than him, and he'll tell you about it.
Yeah.
Dotrieff.
Yeah.
That guy, there's something about him that he could hit from anywhere on the court, but instead of hitting a three, he wanted to go after the big guy.
Yeah.
And there's one play in particular at state tournament when he went in, Ricky Davis, the NBA guy. Ricky Davis is staying in the lane. PJ went up for a finger roll. You may remember it. And he tossed it underhand up about 14 feet. And it's just so funny because it was right over the fingertips of Davis. But he could score over anybody, even though he wasn't very big himself. I think he was 6 foot.
Well, I definitely remember the 30-footers that he would shoot. But
yeah. He could hit those anytime he wanted, but he never took them because he wanted the challenge of going over the big guys.
Well, I know Braxton is getting some looks, from junior colleges, and then he'll probably go somewhere else and play after that. He's got to be a Division I player, don't you think?
I think so. I mean, the way he can handle the ball and he can shoot it, it's tough. When you're playing on a team and you don't have that size and that glory around you, it's hard for people to, come in and pick you out of the crowd when it's a pretty balanced team, he could go to anybody. He didn't have to shoot it every time. He didn't have to depend, on himself to carry the team. And it sometimes it's hard to get recognized.
Well, as well as Braxton played, this team obviously needed some big games from some other guys to win those last two games. I was really impressed with how guys like Jordan Combe, Nolan Otten, and Brecken Manis, who had struggled with their shooting at times this season, came up big in some clutch moments. It just seemed like Coach Carlson pushed all the right buttons with his team, and he gave those guys the confidence to shoot the ball even when they were struggling.
It was kind of crazy when Nolan hit those threes. I was thinking exactly back to Prentice Lofsted. Prentice Lofsted shot and made zero threes the entire season in championship game. He went 3 for 3. So when he hit those, when the big kid hit those threes, I was like, this is way crazy. I could not believe it. But Jordan hit some great shots. I mean, it was to watch him go off was amazing because of games I've seen. He didn't quite do that.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of relied more on his penetration and that
right.
type of thing. Same with Jackson. I really haven't seen Jackson contribute like he did in that last game, hitting those shots from the corner. It was awesome.
Well, and that's what it takes to win a championship sometimes. A guy that maybe that hasn't been playing that well steps up, and that's what you need.
You have to gel, and that's what these guys did. They came out and, you know, they hit shots I hadn't seen them hit all year, and they played with defensive intensity that I hadn't seen all year.
Well, Tim, let's go down memory lane a little bit and talk about the 1995 team. Let's start with your coach, Larry Ireland, who's also my coach at Ankeny back in the early 80s. You know, for people who don't remember Larry or weren't around then, you know, can you describe what it was like to play for him?
Well, I was kind of a unique player. He always had one player that he kind of was hard on. And
was that you?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Kiss had to explain. It wasn't until I was about 35, 36, and Kiss and I got a chance to tell. It was right after Coach passed. I got a chance to talk to Kiss a little bit, and he's like, you know, Tim, you were just too good for him. Like, I was the kind of kid, I didn't party. I wasn't crazy. I always listened. And I grew up, when Coach yells at you, you've got to stare him in the eyes and pay him the respect. Well, I don't think Larry liked that. I mean, that wasn't his thing.
Yeah.
I mean, he wanted that kid like PJ. He was going to say, you know, forget you. And so I think that just kind of – plus, I think he wanted me to be 6'5",
yeah,
and he knew I wasn't going to be. So he was a hard-nosed guy, but I'm telling you, like, he was a great coach. The fundamentals that I haven't seen a team set screens, wait for the screen the way we did. And that was the reason we got open, because we ran offense everybody knew, but it was the way we executed that offense that got us the open shots.
Mm-hmm.
And the way we read the defense, because we waited for the screens. If they jumped ahead, we waited. If they jumped, then we slipped. And it was, I mean, we learned all that, and he was phenomenal.
Yeah, I remember running that old five-man offense. Yeah, the opponents, they'd see it coming, but yeah, they'd still have to stop it.
Yep.
Well, Larry was certainly an old-school coach, and I know Bobby Knight was always one of his favorite coaches. You know, he could yell as much as anybody. I remember seeing a chair fly across the floor one day.
Yep.
You know, I'm guessing he'd maybe have to tone it down a little bit if he were still around coaching today, don't you think?
Yeah, so that's funny that today is so different than it was back then. And the first book I read cover to cover was Season on the Brink. And I knew Ireland loved Bobby Knight, and I love Bobby Knight. And so playing for Ireland kind of was like me playing for Bobby Knight without the cuss words. That's one thing about Larry. He never swore.
Yeah.
And when you look at him and you know who he is, you know, he's a tough dude. I think Kiss said he was a gold glove fighter. He kept his cool as far as the language goes, but, yeah, it definitely the way he coached and the way coaches coached back then. I mean, even Coach Pete, I was on Pete's first basketball team in Ankeny as a freshman.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, he was one of my favorite coaches I ever had. And he was hard-nosed, kicking the ball against the wall. Like, he was a lot more intense as a freshman coach than I think he was when he, you know, gave it up at the end. So it's definitely a different ball game today than it was back then.
Well, going into that season, the expectations weren't real high. Ankeny had played second and third in the state tournament in the previous two seasons. But those teams were led by All-Stater Todd Sears, and he graduated along with just about all the key players from the 94 team. So did you have any idea of the potential that you guys had?
None. I mean, so we started back in seventh grade running the flex offense. And I think that it was Rod Clarkson and Dan Moulton who put that into motion with us in seventh grade. In eighth grade, I mean, they may have started before that. I moved here in seventh grade. But running that over and over and over throughout the life of our basketball career helped us learn how to manipulate that offense. And that going, so PJ and I dressed on the varsity team as sophomores. Mm-hmm. And Ryan was the only person who actually saw good minutes. And he was a tiny little freshman the time. So when they all graduated, we were scared to death. And that first game we came out, we played against Hoover High. They were the number one team in the state. They were put together by, I think, it was Sandquist.
Mm-hmm.
And they were expected to sweep the season. And we came out in that first game, a bunch of skinny little underclassmen, scared to death. And they just pounded us. So going into that sub-state final game against Hoover, I mean, we came out of there. We were so jacked up because we just rolled them. And that it was the discipline, and it was the hustle, and it was the getting up and down the court that just absolutely destroyed them at the end of the year.
Well, we'll talk about that game here in a little bit. But your team was only 9-6 midway through the season, and then you had a huge win at then number 9 Valley when PJ hit a half-court shot at the buzzer to give you guys a 77-76 victory. You know, do you think that was the game that kind of fueled your late-season run?
No, honestly, I think, and I could be wrong on my timing, but there was a game where PJ didn't make it into school on time against Roosevelt at home. And that was a game where, you know, Coach, nobody knew PJ wasn't going to play until right before the game. And I think Fred Smith said, no, you can't play. And so Fred Smith was the AD at the time. And we were all like, oh, no, because Roosevelt had Green, who played Indiana State. He was a superstar. Mm-hmm. So we were all nervous as heck because we didn't have PJ. And we went out and we beat him. And that was, I think that was ultimately the turning the table was that game, because we all said, hey, wait a minute, we got something here. And that kind of snapped PJ back into it. We all kind of gelled after that because we were, you know, we became a true team at that point. And then we moved on to play against Valley. And I don't know if we played before or after. It's been 25 years.
Right. Well, I had to look some of this up today. But you also followed up that Valley win with a 75-71 loss at Johnston, which was a Class 3A school at the time. And they were ranked number one. And they went on to win the state championship in their class. So I'm guessing maybe that game gave you guys a little confidence too.
That gave us a fire. So we played that game. I think they were hit by 4 points with 4 minutes left in the game. And they played the stall game. They had Danner and Sunblad. They're two amazing guards. I mean, probably the best guards outside of Ryan and PJ. And they just held the ball. And their speed and their quickness, they just dribbled around and held the ball and held the ball. And then every once in a while, they would dribble into the hoop. And then they would get us with the size because we'd be so spread out. But after 4 minutes of them stalling, that's what beat us in that game. And back then, we wish we had a shot clock because, yeah, you know, we averaged, 80-some points a game. So right. We were ready to run. But those guys held it on us, and that's how they beat us.
Well, I don't know if you remember this or not. You know, like I said, I looked it up, Dave, but you had 22 points in that win at Valley, and then you had a career-high 27 in that game against Johnston, and that was part of a stretch where you averaged about 19 points a game over seven-game stretch. You know, you were just really on fire there for a few weeks, huh?
Yeah, I mean, we all played our role that year, and that was kind of my stretch where I guess I didn't realize they were all together. I know I had a good run against Hoover, and, I can't really say much about it.
Yeah.
I know I always had the scoring in me. Yeah. You know, PJ and I had always – I think there was one time where I said something to PJ, said something about his average, and I said, anybody could average that much if they shot as much as you. So we had a lot of internal like competition and that fire and all that. I mean, that's what made us tough, was we had that edge.
Well, you guys never lost again after that game at Johnston. You won the final two games of the regular season to tie for the conference title. Then you opened substate play with a win over Ames in the substate semifinal at North. You guys actually trailed 49-44 at halftime before rallying for a 92-83 victory, and that game had 15 lead changes. Now, I remember Coach Ireland's goal was always to hold the opponent under 55 points. I don't imagine he was too happy with giving up 49 in the first half.
Against North?
Yeah.
It's funny because I don't even remember that game. not even a minute of that game. All I remember is playing against Hoover.
Well, then you moved on. You had the substate final against Hoover, and you had 24 in that game. You guys won that one pretty comfortably, 64-52. And like you mentioned, that avenged the loss from the season opener. And you guys were an unranked team, so once you won that game, I mean, obviously you were happy to get to state, but you weren't just happy getting there, were you?
No, and coming in and playing against Iowa City, for me, so what people don't understand is the size difference. Like, you look at this team that just won it this year, they had that same size issue. And when we played, you know, we had a 6'3", 6'4" kid who was a true freshman, skinny string bean. And he was good, trust me, but he was skinny and he was young. So we went in and I ended up having to guard Seth Madol, who was 6'11", 265. Mm-hmm. I was 6'2", 160. It didn't go well for me.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think he went 11-for-11 from the field, all offensive putbacks, because I couldn't move the guy.
Yeah.
But what we did do well is every time we did get the ball, it was a baseball pass, we're getting down the court. And then it helped to have Ryan's defense out front on the Ryan and probably Tom. They were probably guarding the two Crest boys. I don't know if you remember.
Yeah.
Those guys. But they D'd up on them tough. I know Ryan stripped him. And I went played ball later with Terry in college. He was at UNI when I was there. And he wasn't too happy about Ryan stripping him. That's all he remembered.
Well, you guys did win that game 76-69. And I noticed in the stats that I was looking at today, you guys made 21 of 25 free throws. And West only made 4 of 16. I don't know if you fouled the big guy a bunch of times and he couldn't make free throws. But that obviously was the difference in the game, huh?
Yeah, definitely. Our free throw shooting. I mean, just shooting the ball in general. But our free throw shooting was solid. I mean, I think I had the worst shooting percentage with, like, I think I might have even been in the 80s. Which was, I might have been 76% yeah. Maybe.
Well, I think you're right.
So, like, and I remember them saying when I went back and watched the tape, I had the worst shooting percentage from the free throw line on the team. And I'm like, whatever, but whatever.
Well, then in the semifinals, your team pulled away in the second half for a 73-50 victory over Davenport North. And that was a team that was led by future NBA player Ricky Davis. I don't think I'll ever forget a couple of the dunks that Davis had in that game. You know, had you ever played against anybody like him?
No, obviously not. I mean, dude could jump out of the gym. And here's what tells the story there. There was a play where so I fell on the ground because I was kind of uncoordinated and weak. I had a rebound. I fell on the floor. It knocked out of my hand. They threw it up to Ricky. Ricky did a behind the back around PJ, which I know you remember this one. Yeah. Behind the back, probably three steps from midcourt, he took a big left-footed jump, hammered it home, and we got the ball out. And within 3 seconds, Prentice had a bucket on the other end. And that's the way it went. Ricky Davis, I think he had four dunks and a bank-in three-pointer, and that's all he had against us. And it was because the discipline, the defense, the hustle, like they couldn't keep up with us. I mean, we just baseball pass, we're down the court, and, you know, he might have been pumping his fist and flexing and whatever, but we're scoring on the other end when he's doing that.
Yeah, you got the scoreboard, so.
Yep, absolutely.
Well, then in the finals, your team faced a familiar opponent in Valley. It marked the third straight year that the two teams met on the Saturday of the state tournament because Ankeny had lost to Valley in the 1993 final before avenging that loss in the 1994 consolation game. And you guys trailed by 3 points going into the fourth quarter, but then you outscored the Tigers in the final period 27-15, so you posted a 76-67 victory. So how often do you think back to that game?
Quite a bit. You know, I still see the Woodley boys all the time. I mean, not like face-to-face, but I see them. We're friends on Facebook and, you know, pretty proud of the fact of what those guys are doing. And Matt was just an amazing talent at basketball, and Andy was just a fighter. I mean, he was just a fighter.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you run the flex offense. Anybody knows that old five-man offense. You throw elbow-to-elbow pass. And those two guys got me more times than I want to admit because they would act like they're going down to guard, and then they'd turn real quick and steal that pass. But it was those guys were tough, and we knew going into that game it was going to be tough because obviously we played them a couple times earlier that year. We've been playing them our whole career. Mm-hmm. But going into that game, we knew we had a chance. We knew, you know, we could win that game. And PJ just took it to the next level in that game, and, you know, you can't take anything away from him. And he went out there and he outscored. He did everything in his will to keep us in that game. And then towards the end, it was just a battle of grit. And I don't think there's many people out there that have more grit than Andy and Matt Woodley. That's just a fact. Those guys, they don't care. They're gonna do everything they can to win. So for us to be able to pull that game out against those two brothers, it was something else.
Well, it's tough to beat a team three times in 1 year, which is what you guys did, and especially a team as good as them. So I mean, that says a lot about you guys.
Yep, it is. And the year before, it was Valley that, you know, we had to play in the final game, and we beat them in the final game with Sears for the consolation
third,
game.
Yeah.
So it was actually the fourth game that we won in a row against Valley.
Right.
And I know the year before that, they beat us in the championship game.
Yep.
So it was time for us to come back and make a statement and do it for those guys.
Well, I have forgotten some of these games over the years, but I do remember about that championship game. You know, it was kind of like a game of horse between PJ and Matt Woodley for a while. You know, one of them would make a big shot, then the other one would answer right back. Mm-hmm. You know, PJ ended up with 35 points in the game, and he actually had 22 in a row during the first half. You know, it was just an amazing display, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, PJ, he's just a unique dude. He's when it comes to basketball, that's what he was. Like, that was his existence, and he was one with the ball. I mean, I don't know. He wasn't overly quick. He was just crafty. Mm-hmm. It was kind of like a short Vlade Divac.
Yeah. Well, PJ and Ryan Sears, who went on to have a great career at Creighton and was actually inducted into the Iowa Basketball Hall of Fame a couple years ago, were both named the all-tournament team. They're also all-state selections. You must have really enjoyed playing with a backcourt, you know, consisting of those two guys.
Yeah, it was fun. I mean, the thing about it was I always had somebody, you know what I mean? Like, I wasn't very big, so there was always Ryan and always PJ there. But we also had Wiersbicki, and nobody remembers Tom. Mm-hmm. Tom was a guy who went out for track because Schneider, I don't know if you,
right.
Todd Schneider,
oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
He said he saw him play basketball, said, you need to go off track. So Tom goes out for track, and his first race, he runs a 400 low hurdle race, never practiced it. And he went against, I think his name was Dustin Avey.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He went against him and just barely got beat. He ran like a 54 low hurdle, and he was bounding over the hurdles. So that kid had extreme speed, like extreme speed, and he was strong and quick. So he was a guy that, I mean, if they overplayed him, they were beat because Tom was so fast. And then, you know, just Prentice was young, but Prentice nailed every shot at the 15-foot mark. And so when you look at our team, there's not many teams today that everybody can shoot consistently at 15 feet to 20 feet. And that's what we did all the time. So they had to push it out, and having them come out and guard us always left Ryan and PJ open on the outside as well. I mean, we had every tool you could get except for height.
Yeah. Well, Tom was kind of the glue guy for you guys, and I can appreciate that because when I played, I was kind of the glue guy. I wasn't the guy that scored the most points or whatever. So you need guys like that.
Absolutely.
Well, of course, Prentice, you know, he moved to Iowa Falls after that season, and he ended up playing on a state championship team up there with Nick Collison.
Yep.
You know, and his departure obviously hurt your team the next year when you guys made it back to state, but you lost Iowa City West in the quarterfinals. However, I thought one of the big keys for your championship team was when Coach put Lostet into the starting lineup, and the guy that he replaced, Jeremy Hill, who was the team's only senior, then became the sixth man, but he totally accepted that role, didn't he?
Oh, Jeremy wasn't a guy to care. He just wanted to play. He wanted to win, and Jeremy was our senior, our sole senior. And he was very much like Tom. He was fast, he was strong, and he could score. And defensively, he was a stud. So Jeremy, I think there was one of the substate games where he may not even have played. I think we all played the whole game, or if he did get in, it was only for a few minutes. Mm-hmm. But Jeremy didn't care. When he got in, he gave it his whole effort. And he was a very strong. So I would more say that Jeremy was probably our glue because he did everything. And he did it well, and he played hard, and he never said a word about playing time. He just wanted to win.
Now, did you communicate much, you know, with some of your former teammates over the last week when Ankeny was going on that run?
We spent me, PJ, and Ryan were on a group text, as we often do during the basketball season, and we were going back and forth during that final game, and that was kind of fun. And we actually went back and forth the game before that as well. So it's always fun. I mean, all you got to do is say basketball with PJ, and we're talking about high school days.
Oh, yeah, I'll bet.
But Ryan, I mean, you think about the accomplishments that Ryan has had. I mean, he's just, first of all, he's the most unbelievable person. I always tell people that, like, Ryan Sears is, like, the ideal human being because he never says anything bad about anybody. He's the nicest guy. He'll do anything for you. And, man, was he talented.
Yeah, pretty humble guy, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Well, Tim, before I let you go, I just wanted to ask you about one other thing. You told me off air that you're starting up your own production company and you're setting up your own podcast room. So what kind of podcasts, you know, are you thinking about doing? You know, is this going to be related to your real estate business?
Yeah, it'd mostly be related to the real estate business, but, you know, you can only talk real estate so much before people want to quit listening. So if I start up this podcast, I got to figure out a little more content, and I'm sure some will be sports driven. A lot of it will be just entrepreneur driven, you know, working hard and going after your dreams and hustling and doing everything you can to achieve what you want to achieve. That's kind of been the way I've always operated. So a lot of it will probably be geared towards that as well.
Well, good luck with that. You know, I had never done any podcasts until we started up Ankeny Fanatic. So I didn't know what I was doing, but I've really enjoyed it. It's a lot of fun. You get to talk about sports. So what else?
Absolutely.
What else would you want to do? So, well, hey, thanks a lot for coming in today. Really appreciate it. Enjoyed the conversation.
After you too.
You bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. I want to thank all my guests again for coming in tonight. Iowa Realty is very proud and fortunate to have Home Services Lending, Iowa Title, Midland Title and Escrow, and Home Services Insurance as part of their one-stop shopping model. They're able to help you buy and sell anywhere in the state of Iowa. They can also help you, your family, and friends who are moving from anywhere to anywhere in the world through their business affiliates. If you would like information on how to become a realtor, you can call Mike Stanbro at 453-5350, or you can email Mike at Mike Stanbro, that's Stanbrough, at iowarealty.com. Well, we hope to have another podcast next week, but things are kind of in flux right now with everything that's going on, but we'll see if we can't figure out something to do next week. So we'll talk to you later.